Hey, everybody. So many people have been affected by the fires in Australia. Terrible situation, including around the NFL listeners. And we want to do what we can to help out. The NFL is holding auctions. And if you're a 49ers fan and want to own a piece of history while also helping Australians with the devastating fires in their country, bid on a number of memorabilia connected to the NFC title game. Also, all sorts of autographs, jerseys, really good fun stuff for a very important cause. So go to at NFL Auction on Twitter, and you can see it also on our Twitter. We are promoting this as well. So help us out. Help out the people of Australia. If you can, hang in there, folks.
The Around the NFL Podcast is on the wrong side of 30.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a room that's filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
Feeling hope and something new, a new frontier for this podcast this season.
Go on.
We may, just judging on the lineup that we are looking at for this show, log an episode that comes in under 120 minutes.
I think our championship game review was under an hour.
Sub 60.
Then this could be could be a 32-minute show if we stay focused. It could be we could be in our cars heading home in 32 minutes.
Well, yeah, there's different seasons in Los Angeles. You know, there's fire season where the fires come. There's fire pit season where Wes does fire pit in his backyard. And then there's Mark's really upset we didn't start on time season, which officially started
all year
starting.
Round.
Well, it's,
it is,
no,
but
it's,
it kicks up a notch.
What ridiculous humor begins when Dan, like last night, is like, hey guys, cool with the 12 p.m. start for the show. Yes, right away, of course, I'd start at 8 a.m. We could be done by 9 a.m., but we have to wait
till
noon.
By the way, you don't have to
it is 12:20 right now.
You don't have to reply to that text when I send it. Because we know you want to start early.
It is 12:20.
Mark likes his podcasts like his NFL games, like over.
Well, I would say let's do a good job with it, but why must we wait and wait and wait to begin?
A little reminder, Mark, how this works. We've done like 970 shows. To try to do the best show possible, Erica and I, we talk behind the scenes. We try to get things to bake into the show to make it a better show. And sometimes we have technical issues. Sometimes I don't think of something until, let's say, 12:45 or 11:45. And it leads to just a brief delay that makes the show better, hopefully. And when you think of it that way, does that change anything for you, Mark? That we're trying to make a better show for people as opposed to getting you out of the office as soon as possible?
I would say, for the record, I will say yes, it does change things. Well, how I feel, there are to varying degrees do I believe in those theories. But
new shirt, though, Mark. I like
that. Not really. That we've shipped everything in a box to Miami.
Okay, old shirt.
Have.
How do you feel about the episodes that start late solely because
Miami.
Everyone's trying to mess with you?
You know how I feel. I feel annoyed. Still annoyed.
All right. Great to have you here, Mark. Yes, Miami. We will be there one
Miami.
Week from today. Colleen will be in Miami as well, and we're really excited and looking forward to another big Super Bowl week. So much to talk about, but this is a good show, Greg, where we can – this Tuesday show during the bye week, essentially, before the Super Bowl. Let's not talk about the Super Bowl, really.
I think that's
this
fair.
Is a good episode to stay away from the Super Bowl. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about the Super Bowl. We have, of course, Mina Kimes coming on Thursday. Have we figured out yet, is Mina going to be here or is she going to be on a Skype call? What's going on? Where's the update on that front?
I assume she's coming here. She lives in Los Angeles. She knows she's coming on the pod. But yeah, I guess we should straighten these things out.
She has been on the show once before and it was a phoner, as I recall.
Okay.
Well, it was.
I wasn't there for that one, so I don't remember.
We informed her that you were intimidated by her and chose to sit the show out, which she did not.
Out.
I don't think she believed that.
All right. So for today's show, Greg wrote a banger. Greg wrote one of those pieces that sometimes as you're reading, you're thinking to yourself, is this guy just looking for the clicks? Because some of this stuff is really interesting and goes outside the box.
Really?
Yeah. Like some of, you know, Greg's top, what is it, 25? 30 free agents.
I didn't think it was two outside
what's
the box.
What's the number
I
even, we got here? 25.
I had multiple people check to see, hey,
nice round
is
number.
There anything crazy on this? And people as esteemed as Chris Wesseling said, no, that seems fine.
So, it feels like it's a harder year, more challenging year with the...
But you can let me know, Dan.
Yeah, no.
The over-the-hill quarterbacks make it a very challenging year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
You know that, Greg, I respect your football acumen, so it's not like I'm casting doubt upon these, but some of the names, where they fit on this list, and I will say, because we're all spinning forward and looking forward to not only the Dan and Mark Top 101 Free Agents article that will come out after the Super Bowl, but when Wes and Greg do their piece as well, you always it's fun to see the scientists battle it out. So
this is the preliminary 1.0 list.
And
that's
sometimes
asked for.
You guys do these lists and there's all this buildup. Oh, yeah, the scientist is going to be a big winner. And then it's like Eric Fisher is the number one free agent on the market. Not this year.
Right. Then it's
this
like
is a fun list this
take
year.
Me out at that point. Why is this list authored by Greg and Wes is just left by the side of the road
that's a
when
fair
he's, he's your writing partner on this front?
Ooh, Wes just put his hands up.
Does Wes want extra writing assignments during the playoffs?
Did you ask?
Wes doesn't want any writing assignments ever.
I rest my case.
Well, so he was consulted and
said
no.
Does he want an extra column?
He was consulted and said no, or you just ran with it on your own?
This was years ago, was asked for. I don't know.
No, but
I'm asking pressing questions that aren't being answered.
I think it's safe to say.
Can I be honest with you, Wes?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be frank?
Yes.
Breaks my heart to hear you say that. You're a great writer.
This isn't a cave wall. We don't need to communicate that way anymore. Nobody reads anymore.
Wes has been on this beat for a while.
But I write an article, and all anybody wants to talk about is the number besides the analysis, not the actual analysis. So why even write? I could just write a list of numbers and everybody would be happy.
The old guys are fired up today.
Yeah, the last minute, you know, might be part of it. When Wes and I were both doing it, then it becomes a whole process. This thing is it's relatively, right. I already disagree with some of these rankings. I'm going to change it a lot in a month when we have a little more time, and Wes will certainly change it a lot.
Mm. Yeah, you only have 25 names here, so I'm just assuming Geno Smith is 26th, and I'll have to rank him 300th in order to put him in a nice spot.
That's a good call. I did do a just missed. I should throw Geno on as a bit.
A little bit of a wink to the audience. All right, so we'll hit that, and also we're going to do some news. In fact, Ricky, how are you, by the way?
Doing great. How are you?
I want to hear, you know, some good cheer from somebody. So you had a nice weekend, it looked like.
I had a nice weekend. Shout out Jada's birthday, Eddie Spaghetti's girlfriend. We were out.
She's a firecracker, that one.
Yeah,
she's a TV woman.
Seems yes.
Like
on television.
Nice woman. I met her Thanksgiving Eve.
Yep.
For our listeners, Eddie Spaghetti, a member of the Dave Damashek football program.
Yeah. So
very cool.
That was fun. Yeah,
you guys got a lot of birthday parties. Do you guys have like 3 birthdays each?
Normally it's about for the weekend. Yeah.
Now let me say this, and this is.
Do you know when mine is, Dan?
Yes, it's coming up on February 10th. Actually,
you knew it.
Now let me say this.
You told us multiple times.
Oh, you guys
the show
on repeat before the show.
I'm not going to give Dan this credit,
Erica.
He wouldn't know.
No, I got it. I nailed it. You are a young woman and far younger than all of us, but I just have to say something. I know this gets into slippery slope territory.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking to a girl about her age, but this has to be your last birthday where you do it for a whole week.
Why?
At a certain point, it's got to just celebrate the day.
Don't you stop at 30? I'm not 30 yet.
No, you'll just know naturally when it's time to stop.
Right.
Well, I know plenty of
at some
women
point,
in their 30s that are
at some point you wake
it,
up and you're
ahead,
like,
Greg.
Oh, good, sorry.
Go no, ahead. Go ahead, Greg. Just forget about what I was saying. Just march on in.
Let Mark get his thought.
No, I'm done.
I would like to hear your
thought. I want to hear this thought. This must
no
be
thoughts.
Titanic.
I have no thoughts.
Once all your friends start to get married and move away, then you will have no choice but just to celebrate for a single day.
Mark, right. I want to hear what your thought was.
I don't even remember at this point. It was just like I got run over by a car. So
anyway, yeah, I guess you'll know.
Yeah.
But just don't be the person that takes it too far.
Well, I have to do multiple days because, like we were talking before the show, you guys are all like old, so we need to go to the
early
like,
bird special.
Early bird special
yeah.
dinner with you guys,
yeah.
and then I'll do my other things later.
Right?
You know,
like the idea of inviting us to a West Hollywood nightclub hotspot at this juncture of our respective lives, it just doesn't quite. It's not a good connection.
Why? Live a little.
Nobody. But that's not. At some point, you'll realize like. Oh, I was having fun then, but I was sort of, Yeah, some of those times convincing myself I was having more fun than I was having. There's other ways I can have fun with just like my closest friend or in a different way, and it'll change. That's how it changes.
Yeah, you might not want us there at
right.
At
you don't really want us there anyways.
Right.
That's all.
No, you guys are Wes and Lakeisha were the only ones that came all the way to West Hollywood last year.
Well, they were in a different phase of their lives, which was kind of like couple on parade, where you're
they were the
couple on yes. parade.
You are to some degree.
They were they were the young hot couple engaged. They were on a world tour promoting the wedding, and they have no kids, not yet anyway. Different realm. Try to get Wes and Lakeisha to this party next year.
This is the takes that are flying around here are ridiculous. I mean,
you guys promoted the hell out of that wedding. You did the whole night, all the late night talk shows. You did Colbert. You did The Daily Show.
Well, when you have to get people to fly across the country, you do have to promote it a little bit. But the idea, yes, it's true. You guys have kids.
We've hit the hour mark, by the way.
You guys have kids, so it's harder for you to get to places. But we just wanted to go to hang out with Ricky.
Yeah,
it wasn't because we were on some couples tour.
We are flying today. All right.
All right.
Let's do some news.
Eventually, as we were both single guys in our 20s, the talk turned to girls. Maybe we should get out of here. Go find where the action is, he said. I looked at him. Dude, you're JFK Jr., all right? You don't need to go anywhere. He looked at me and laughed. And as he did, I saw a glimpse of his father and was reminded of his family's legacy of sacrifice and tragedy, and was glad that he was carrying the mantle so well and with so much promise for the future.
An audio excerpt from the great 2011 Rob Lowe autobiography, Stories I Only Tell My Friends.
It was exciting to hear him read that for the first time. He was like, wow, this is pretty good. He didn't seem remotely familiar with it.
What a great...
Like, this is good stuff.
What a great book. He's a real raconteur, that Rob Lowe. And Mark, that's what caused a slight delay. And you are a huge JFK fan. So just imagine being in the shoes of a young Lowe, looking face to face and seeing in that laugh the great John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 1917 to 1916.
A very relevant tale by Rob Lowe. So I'm glad that we waited for that.
We're 11 minutes in here, not to the news. That might be a record. Congrats to us.
Jason Garrett's got a job. He agreed to become the Giants OC. We kind of missed this in all the Championship Sunday hullabaloo. Garrett, who finally got let go by the Cowboys after 9 seasons, he takes over and joins Joe Judge's staff. And Greg, it's been a while since Jason Garrett called plays. That was a big subplot about halfway through his tenure as Cowboys coach. But I guess when you have a Joe Judge, a guy with very little experience, having somebody like Garrett feels like a good situation.
Yeah, in terms of helping navigate all the challenges of being a head coach, you know, in a big market, I would imagine Garrett would be a great guy to kind of have with you. We haven't seen him call plays. I mean, he was the coordinator of the Cowboys back in 2007, so he had a run there. And it might be Garrett thinking, hey, if I want to reestablish myself as a head coach in this league, and I have to show other teams that I can kind of update with the times and call plays, because I think that would be a big time question if he's ever interviewing for top jobs again.
I like the move when the experienced head coach goes to the coordinator role, and you've got someone who's new in New York with Judge at the head coach role. I love bringing in. I like the idea of bringing in a guy that has been through it all. And I get that Jason Garrett isn't necessarily seen as like the hot young coordinator who is going to unfurl like some sort of scheme we've never seen before. But they have parts in place. Like, this is not a bad place for Garrett to land.
They have some common history. They both worked for Nick Saban. I think people forget that about, you know, Garrett's background, but Joe Judge came up under Saban and then under Bill Belichick. Garrett did too, and I don't know. I like the fact that Jason Garrett's in the NFC East going up against the Cowboys. I mean, as a fan of just drama,
clapping on the opposite sideline, that's going to be fun.
I mean, yeah, if Jason Garrett's dropping bombs on the Cowboys defense, that would be kind of fun. There's no loser here for a fan of neither team.
It guarantees, without any question, 2 primetime Cowboys Giants games.
There always are, though, aren't they?
And there's at least one, but we're getting to
The Garrett had two choices. He could go away for the year, do the Mike McCarthy, but he didn't have a paycheck coming. And this is also a smart move. Like we said, he has some weapons and can build his name back up. I'm sure his goal, again, is to get back into a big chair, and we'll see if he can do it. Dean Pease retires after 16 seasons in the NFL. The Titans defensive coordinator announced it on Monday. He almost retired around the time Mike Vrabel was hired, but Vrabel was able to talk Pease into coming to Tennessee to coordinate the defense. But now it is time for the coach to walk away. Tennessee finished at number three in terms of opposing points scored in 2018, 12th in 2019, 40 takeaways under the two seasons, and 16-season NFL career for Pease.
It was worth it to come back. What a great showing in the playoffs this year by Dean Pease. And he's been around so long. I was reading an article on Antonio Gates yesterday talking about his college career and why he chose Kent State, because he wanted to play basketball and football. And Nick Saban was at Michigan State with Dean Pease, who ended up being the Kent State coach for Antonio Gates. He's been around forever.
Right. He's been a part of a lot of historical teams. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator of the 2007 Patriots. I don't think anyone remembers that, the 18-1 season. He was the defensive coordinator of the 2012 Super Bowl champion Ravens team, who did not have a good defense, but did win the Super Bowl. And then now he knocks off the Ravens as a one seed, and we say farewell to Dean Pease. A friend,
70 years old.
A friend of Cynthia Freeland, another person Cynthia Freeland somehow knows.
Cynthia's one of those people. She knows everybody. So watch what you say around Cynthia Freeland. That's what I take away from it. You want to bury somebody in the NFL sphere? Good chance Cynthia will be texting about it shortly thereafter.
She'll be telling on you.
Yes.
If you well, I will keep my mouth shut around her if I wasn't already.
We're going to have her back on the podcast soon. She wants to be back. We've got a lot of people going on vacation coming up in February.
That's not how you frame it.
No, that's right.
Miami.
She's going to be texting about that. Other coordinator news. As expected, Romeo Crennel will not return as the Texans' DC. The Texans instead will promote defensive line coach Anthony Weaver to replace Crennel. Crennel had been on Bill O'Brien's staff in Houston since 2014. And 2019 was a tough year for Houston's defense, averaging about 390 yards a game, which was in the bottom five in the NFL. They win a playoff game against the Bills, and then, yikes, 51-point, a 50-burger. You get dropped on you in the divisional round against the Chiefs, and that essentially seemed to seal Crennel's fate.
I found this more interesting, and Crennel might stay with the organization in some capacity as an advisor. As the other part of the story, which was O'Brien firing a vice president in the personnel department, a senior VP, who the owner of Cal McNair of the Texans and O'Brien had recently said is one of the best salary cap, you know, guys in the entire NFL, that he's like made a huge difference for our organization. This was during the last kind of changeover where O'Brien was taking more power. And here it is after the season. He's saying, hey, we're going in a great direction. We feel like everything's going in the right way. And then outs Romeo Crennel and outs another VP. And O'Brien just swallows up more of the power.
Consolidates
if you were to
power.
Rank coaches in terms of like power within their team, 1 through 32, is he top 5?
Yeah.
He certainly wasn't a couple years ago, and he shot into that.
Let's see. Belichick.
Yeah. Sean Payton.
John Gruden. Sean Payton.
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's up there. But Carroll, I would say O'Brien Ryan's now there, is
O'Brien
there.
Also, five. Brian, O'Brien also, more than anyone else, has sort of a flair for power, where he does these flashy things every 5 or 6 months that remind you how much power he has.
I want to know which head coaches have the least amount of power.
Zach Taylor.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Taylor in a big spot takes a pop.
Maybe Bill O'Brien's pastor can run the defense.
Right. I mean,
Easterby will be out there calling
up
blitzes.
He's riding up there. And if this is it for Romeo, just goodbye to a great football lifer.
Oh, yeah.
Former Pats coach.
The special teams coordinator of those great 80s Giants. Then the defensive line coach back with the Parcells when he went to the Super Bowl and the Patriots. The coordinator of the Patriots when they won 3 Super Bowl. I mean, he's done
it. A largely forgettable Browns head coach.
Right, yes. And Chiefs head coach. We had a whole conversation downstairs, and no one remembered that Romeo Crennel was once a head coach of the Chiefs.
Dean Pease retires. Romeo Crennel heading in that direction. Tom Brady heading toward retirement, Bill Belichick another year older. Really is, it's the end of something here, Greg.
It's getting there. I mean, Brady's going to be playing for the Raiders, and Belichick and Jarrett Stidham will be in the Super Bowl next year. So
get to that in a second. One more bit of coaching news. The Dolphins have coaxed Chan Gailey out of retirement.
Coaxed.
He's their new OC a day after firing Chad O'Shea. Miami made Gailey its new coordinator. 67 years old. See, all these old guys, especially the coordinators, they just stick around forever. And they usually keep getting jobs until they decide they're done. If you establish yourself in that, you know, in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, early 50s, it feels like you can work from your 50s into your 60s and then walk away. And Gailey certainly is a guy that's been kind of all over the map. Another former head coach. He was previously with the Jets, the Cowboys, the Bills, where he was the head coach, the Dolphins, and now he is back full circle in Miami.
Reunited with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, they made beautiful magic together in 2015.
I didn't even think about that.
That's true.
With two teams.
Yeah, back with the Bills, too. Maybe that was that part of it? Wow.
He was with the Bills 2010 to 2012.
He was with Fitzy with the Jets and Bills.
He was always very forward-thinking in terms of his approach to offense. I remember that 2008 Chiefs team, I think, with Tyler Thigpen. I
mean, they were
running some stuff that everyone's saying now is so newfangled, and I'm just shocked kind of that Brian Flores, that was his big move this offseason. Mm. Get rid of Jim Caldwell, who was technically still on their staff but had health problems. Get rid of Chad O'Shea, who was his coordinator, and bring in Chan Gailey.
I'd want to know what he's been out of the loop, not just for one season or something, but for years. What has he been doing with his time? Is he like grinding film like Wes over here and like coming
tape
up
dogging
with new schemes and things? Like
maybe a consultant.
I hope he's going deeper. He's better not be watching Condensed. You're going to be in trouble if Chan Gailey's watching Condensed.
Well, is he watching anything?
That, especially viewed within the prism of our time here at NFL Media, that 2015 Jets season is so weird. They had Ryan Fitzpatrick throw for 30 touchdowns, a team record. They had 2 1,000-yard receivers. They won 10 games, and they didn't make the playoffs. And then just awful 5 years before that and 5 years after it. Mm. That's life. Chan Gailey, back in the game. Phil Rivers, Egon, out of San Diego, that is. He's moved permanently from San Diego to Florida to be closer to his family. A text to ESPN went as follows. What this means football-wise is to be determined, but it was time for us to move back closer to home. His family is settled in the South. His football future, who knows? The Chargers don't seem to want to do business anymore. Mm.
This Rivers thing was interesting because you could see it kind of both ways, that maybe it was just everybody connecting the dots. He's moving to Florida, so talk radio has him going to the Buccaneers. They need a quarterback. Winston's a free agent. Arians had success with like late career Carson Palmer. It could be the same thing all over again. Arians doesn't have much time left. But then when you look further, you're like, does he really want to go to the Bucs? Do the Bucs really want to give up Jameis for Phillip Rivers? Phillip Rivers doesn't have the arm to do Arians' downfield offense. I don't see that. I actually reached out to Ian, and he kind of poo-pooed it and said he thinks they still want Jameis Winston back.
I just don't think you can, as a Phillip Rivers in his position, move to Florida and say, I'm going to now limit where I'll play to these three Florida teams, because I agree, I don't see a natural fit. I mean, the Dolphins feel like more of a fit to take a veteran for a year if they want to like have a quarterback grow underneath them, but I don't think that does much for Phillip Rivers or the Dolphins.
Right, I thought about that too when it came to thinking of teams with Brady, because you know he has the connection with the staff there. But I mean, A, Ryan Fitzpatrick is under contract, and then B, I think they got all these picks to get a rookie to develop, and maybe it's not easy to get Tua, but Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick to me makes a lot of sense, not Tua and Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady. He is living in the panhandle, which is like they say Florida. You pointed this out, Mark. It's like Florida's huge. He's further away from Miami than he is from like Indianapolis.
Basically,
right?
Just
New Orleans, yeah.
Just eastern Alabama.
Miami.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's basically Alabama.
He's from Alabama.
Right. His men and his wife are apparently
a total Alabama man.
Close.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know. I feel like we've been talking about geography for 15 straight minutes.
I think keep an eye out on Wes's Colts. That is where the little buzz is popping up. Frank Reich used to coach him. There's another assistant there that used to be with him and loves him, and that they could do a pretty seamless swap of Brissett for Rivers.
Undeniably,
you got an offensive line. You got a running game. You're trying to win now.
I know that Rivers is showing signs of decline, but that feels like an upgrade. Right?
I agree.
And they don't have a high draft pick.
I think also stopgap. from an Ursay ownership angle, it would be a nice year to sell Philip Rivers to a fan base that lost Andrew Luck. From a business side, I think you could sell that.
But the family's in Florida.
Yeah, but I mean,
take the bus to Indy.
It's a much shorter plane ride.
You're just not going to be seeing your family that much.
Right. You're gonna be flying home on Fridays on like a jet and spend 36 hours. I mean, how much are they really spending together in the season? I don't know.
Does the Florida Panhandle, more importantly, Wes, is that part of the Midwest?
No, that is part of the Deep South.
I mean, I know that area well. I would drive from New Orleans to Gulf Breeze, Pensacola area, where one of my good buddies in college all the time. You go through Floribama. Nice part of the world, Mobile.
You drive through North Florida, and it's not anything like you think of Florida, like the vacation destination. North Florida is deep, deep south.
The article that I was getting this info from also has a paragraph that I find incredibly alarming. The Chargers have Tyrod Taylor under contract for next season and have been impressed with his play throughout the past season, and he could wind up as Los Angeles' starting quarterback. That's from Mort and Schefter. I mean, can we watch out there, Chargers? Come on now.
That's how you open the new stadium.
Hasn't it been made abundantly clear that Tyrod Taylor is a very good backup quarterback?
I don't listen to any of this stuff in late January. Utter nonsense.
Tommy Brady is, quote, open-minded about playing elsewhere. Here's what he said in his weekly interview with Westwood One Radio. I'm open-minded about the process. At the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. This would be potentially the first time, Greg, ever he, takes a phone call from a different team to test the market. Not bad if you could wait until you're 42 for that to happen.
That's true. And once he starts taking phone calls that are allowed, he's already gone. Because
why isn't he on the free agent list, by the way? What's the contract?
He is.
Oh, he's on
nine.
There.
Yeah.
He's number nine.
What a list. Tom Brady's number nine.
Doesn't become a free agent until March 18th like the rest of the league. But the difference is that's the moment that the Patriots get $13.5 million on their cap, whether he signs with them or not. And so the Patriots are not signing him after free agency starts. Either they're signing him before it starts or he's going elsewhere. Now, I'm sure he'll have an idea of what kind of market, because all these players and agents, like, they figure it out behind the scenes anyways, well before it happens. But if he starts taking those calls and he's just open for business, he's gone. And I think there's a real chance of it.
Come on.
You don't think so?
Well, he's earned the right to do whatever he wants. I mean, if anybody's earned the right, but who wants to watch him behind a rotten Chargers offensive line or something?
Well, but
nobody wants to see that.
The longer this goes and the more talk around it, I really think it's about, do the Patriots want him? And I think the answer is probably not if they have to pay him a going rate for quarterbacks, which is amazing. But I think the answer is, unless he's willing to take a pretty big discount, which he had to after winning Super Bowls and after winning MVPs, they didn't pay him what he was worth. So unless he's willing to do that again, and maybe he will be because he doesn't see a good option out there, I think he's gone. I don't think Belichick's going to pay him, and I think Belichick might look at this year as a beautiful time to say goodbye.
He signed those contracts. He could have held out or fought for more money when he accepted those contracts. That's not all on New England, but I think Belichick is one factor here, but I wonder if Robert Kraft could even
swallow
the concept of watching Tom Brady on the Colts or on the Chargers. I know. He said he'd rather just Tom Brady retire. I just think that this is the owner of the team that is very attached to Tom Brady, and the whole Jimmy G thing went down because of loyalty to Tom Brady and aging Tom Brady. Belichick's one person, but he's not running the team.
Nobody wants to see Tom Brady getting his ass kicked in some weird uniform for a year.
It's the worst way this
could
end.
And you can see a lot of these teams talking themselves into him.
Which one?
Still having a lot left in the tank.
That's where I haven't have.
Should we save that
trouble
for free agency conversation?
Sure.
All right, put a stick a pin in that. Let's move on. The NFL to test two potential rule changes in the Pro Bowl. Here they are. I'm reading this for the first time.
Like Rob Lowe.
Yeah. The second one is a lot less.
Old Rob Lowe.
Team A may elect to give Team B the ball at Team B's 25-yard line, beginning a new series of downs with a first and 10. Oh, that's after a successful field goal or extra point attempt. Number two, Team A may elect to take the ball at its own 25-yard line for a fourth and 15 play. If Team A is successful in making – this sounds very familiar – making a first down, Team A will maintain possession, and a new series of downs will continue as normal. If Team A is unsuccessful in making a first down, the result will be a turnover on downs, and Team B will take possession at the dead ball spot. This was from last year, wasn't it?
It was – a rule proposal at the owners' meetings that came up as an effort to kind of make the game more interesting and get rid of onside kicks, which they're kind of getting rid of anyways. I think it's really interesting. You take a fourth and 15, basically, when you're down 10 at your own 25 instead of going for an onside kick. Sign me up.
I love it. I mean, I would imagine both coaches have essentially been ordered to dial this up once or more than once in this game. Because why not? Let's see it in action. I do think the onside kick has become such a low percentage play at this point that you don't even have to do this. If this ever became a rule and it wasn't just only you can only use it in the last 5 minutes of each half or something, why there's going to be some wild team out there that, like a kid in Madden, tries to dial this up over and over and over and hold on to possession for like 25, 30 straight minutes. That's what I'd try to do.
I have another.
Imagine the Chiefs doing
right.
This
I mean,
year.
if you can convert two out of three,
they just start the game up 28-0.
Yep.
The Titans never even have the ball. Yep.
How about this option? This is all fun, but this is all malarkey. What if you just got rid of that onside kick rule tweak they made a couple of years ago that made it impossible again in the first place?
Yeah.
Why don't
they
go back
to
the way it
used to be? For safety reasons?
They did.
Oh.
So they backed themselves.
Hey, by the way, it was kind of always.
I'm out. I give up.
It was kind of always impossible.
I'm not involved in this.
Yeah, I mean, with every generation, the foot comes out of football even more.
Nice. Way to put a button on it, Wes. Liked it. Speaking of Wes, the Bengals, they got the number one overall pick. Wes is ready to dive back in. And look at this guy. You got the kid, Joe Burrow, out of LSU. Who's more excited than all the Wessling family members and everybody else on the west side of Cincinnati? This kid is the future. An Ohio native, the kid is. There was a report that Cincinnati had no intention of trading the top draft pick, and they better not, ostensibly with the purpose of using it to select the Heisman Trophy winner, Burrow. But Bengals director of player personnel Duke Tobin said Monday that the Bengals are nowhere near making such an evaluation. That's news to me, he said.
Yes. Well, even when a generational passer like Peyton Manning came out, Bill Pullian still did his due diligence, still thought, do I draft Ryan Leaf or do I draft Peyton Manning? He still did the research, and that's what a smart team has to do.
Of course. You don't have to tell anybody what your intentions are.
Right, and Chase Young is out there. This guy, if he is every bit as good as people think he is, like a generational pass rusher, you at least have to look into it so 5 years later people aren't thinking Joe Burrow flopped. Why didn't you consider Chase Young?
Well, if they ever passed on Joe Burrow and he became what people think, they're – I
don't know. The franchise.
That's absurd. Yeah, just close the shut down the entire operation.
I'm not saying Joe Burrow will flop. I'm just saying
– No, I know.
I believe you would say that.
I also think the NFL –
If we run the tape back, Wes just guaranteed.
It would be very Bengals for Zach Taylor to fall in love with some second-round quarterback at this year's Senior Bowl.
Oh, no.
And then
–
Oh, I hope not. I mean, honestly,
like, finally, a group of players that listens to me. I love this Senior Bowl. And, you know, he's – Sign him up.
Wait, you used to love Zach Taylor.
I love him. I just am making random shots.
AFC North has reloaded a quarterback in a pretty crazy way, and I'm not even pointing to the Browns at this point. I don't know what will happen with Baker Mayfield, but Lamar Jackson, and if they get Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
How about those Steelers?
Well, that's the one. They've got issues.
They've reloaded in a crazy way, too.
Not with your type.
Finally, in the news, Richard Sherman and Darrelle Revis, they've kind of beefed over the years. The great Niners cornerback and the former Jets, Bucks, and Patriots and Jets cornerback Darrelle Revis. And during the NFC title game, after Devontae Adams beat Sherman on a long completion, Revis took a photo of his television and tweeted out, "Fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage. Every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame, except the challenge is the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding in a cover three zone." And Richard Sherman, as the kids say, clap back. Got it, Ricky? "I would go in on this has-been, but I have a Super Bowl to prepare for. Enjoy the view from the couch. Your ninth year looked a lot different than this. LMAO, laughing my arse off."
I mean, you want to get into a battle of wits with Richard Sherman? Darrelle Revis is not prepared for that battle. Maybe a much better cornerback one-on-one, but in a battle of wits,
right.
You're going to lose to Sherman.
Right, although he was just taking shots without knowing what he was talking about. In his ninth year, Darrelle Revis won a Super Bowl and was a first-team All-Pro and had the most forced turnovers of any team in the league. So Sherman couldn't have – no one cares about whether the burn was, like, remotely accurate. Darrelle Revis was better than Richard Sherman in
his ninth
year.
What's he doing now?
Yeah, he's sitting on the couch.
Taking pot shots at someone else like a loser.
Yeah, he is. And my favorite comment was like the first Twitter, you know.
Wait, Greg, I gotta stop you there.
Yes.
The Patriots season was his eighth year.
Oh.
Ouch.
Yikes.
Ooh, there goes
so
that.
What did he do with his ninth
year?
When he signed a huge deal with the Jets. And I think he was a Pro Bowler, but he was in a little bit of decline. But Sherman's wrong in the sense that he's probably thinking about the second year Revis had
the last
year, it was a mess.
I knew he was a Pro Bowler, someone had pointed out, but that's my bad.
I mean, it just looks petty to me. I get it. People, this probably was the highest ranked story on NFL.com. I mean, that's
no,
how
it works. He does. Why does he have such a thing about it? It's like, oh, like you're a zone, you play on a team that has zone defense and you play zone defense. It's like, yeah, that's what everyone in the NFL does. That's like your job.
I get why he does it, because he's saying, you know, for the purity of football, like for the game, it's a better game if you're playing man-to-man and you're good enough to do it. But he's like the only one who's been able to do that.
It's just a way of tooting his own horn.
Right.
And, you know,
right. I'm not in the news cycle, have not been for years, but now I am.
I love Darrelle Revis. I hate the way his career ended, but he was one of the greats of all time. But why engage in this? You should have respect for another early 30-something cornerback who's at the top of the profession. What are we doing here?
I agree.
Well said.
That's what's happening in the news. Ricky, get us a plug-in for next Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. Tickets are going fast for our Miami Improv show.
Miami.
And make sure you guys get tickets. We've been tweeting them out. They're on our Instagram. It is Miami Improv/events. Come hang out with us in
Miami.
I heard some bubbling. Good job, Ricky. I heard some bubbling up on the Twitterverse. You know, when you did your live show in London, sold out in less than a minute, and you're still hawking tickets for this. Well, maybe you're not aware that the Miami Improv seats 120,000 people.
Right.
So before you talk, like Darrelle Revis or Richard Sherman, just have the background.
Fact check, please.
Oh, we also have way more listeners in London. I mean, that's no surprise. Miami, come correct. You're not in the top
Miami.
20 American cities, which makes sense because, you know, it's a totally spread out city that doesn't love its pro sports, right?
All right, Greg. I mean, we could have just left it at the
Dan point. Was trying to come from a different angle there, but yeah. Unmasked.
Also, on Wednesday
yeah, I mean,
that
if
week,
he's bringing it up, we're coming from that angle.
I got to be honest.
Wednesday of that week, you can go down to South Beach and see Greg swim live with the dolphins.
Yeah.
Just no tickets for that. That's
just
come on.
Yeah, just follow your Google Maps to South Beach. You'll see me there.
Go to the pool.
You're kidding. It'll be great. I'm right there on the left.
Okay. All right. Here we go. It's time. Any blowback, by the way, about the D and the mashed potatoes?
No. It was beeped out on our podcast.
What about your comments aimed at my wife? At the end of
was there an apology after the show? I missed it.
No,
not that I heard. It's not that I. It's not. Not that. Not.
Why do I have to apologize?
How about a phone call to
a phone
Simone?
Call.
That would be awkward.
What year is this?
Yeah.
How about hat in hand at the front door?
I stand by my comment. If anything, she would give me like a fist bump. She was like, "Yeah, I was ready to go. Get Mark home. You guys are honking too much."
How are we back here?
All right.
Was Simone doing the Friday Night Lights mom thing with the wine glass in the living room just spinning?
No.
Explosions in the sky playing?
I know that's what you want me to tell you was happening, but I came home to a pretty controlled household.
That's actually kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
A little disappointed.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. The top 25 NFL free agents of 2020, colon, this is the headline, folks, no shortage of intriguing QBs. Now, was that your headline, Greg, or was that something they put on there?
Oh, yeah, not mine.
You sign off on it, though?
You kind of just find out, right? The headlines, you can't worry about what you can't control, you know? That's what I say.
You used to be a good headline writer.
I used to be into the headlines.
Except for whenever you had to write which.
That was a verbose headline, by the way. A lot of.
I know
SEO
they try to fill up the whole line. It's annoying.
So, Greg, you as you're putting together and doing the research on this, and then going through the process of figuring out that order, what kind of jumped out to you as you were doing it from a macro perspective?
Well, number one, that it's the toughest year to rank these players. First of all, because there's more big names than I can ever remember in the top 25.
Totally.
But more to the point. How do you rank Tom Brady and Philip Rivers versus like Joe Tooney and Byron Jones? It's just this sort of meta. It's a question that cannot be answered. But I struggled with it partly because Tom Brady's still worth more to a team that could use a quarterback than I think Byron Jones would be to a team maybe that needs a cornerback. But there's only a few teams out there that Tom Brady would help. And Byron Jones and guys like Joe Tooney, who would be a plug-and-play guard for basically any team, they could help almost every team. So it was very hard to figure out. Because you look at Rivers, I'm giving him a bonus that he's younger than Tom Brady. Like, he's got maybe a longer runway, and he's 38 years old. It's all impossible.
You look at a guy like Drew Brees and think, okay, he's got a 30-yard arm in a dome with no wind. What's he worth to the Chicago Bears when come November you just have to sit him on the sideline because his arm's not strong enough to cut through the wind?
I'm a little higher on Brees, I think, than you are, Wes.
Brees was on the Saints are
like,
awesome
if
on
you
the
put,
road this year.
If you put him on the Bears, I do think they'd be a much better team. They'd figure it out.
No, I'm not talking about on the road. I'm talking about when wind is actually blowing, like more than 4 miles an hour.
Got it. I guess since
Trubisky not too great in the wind either. Just throwing that out there, Brian.
Absolutely.
So Tom Brady at nine. In another world, I'm curious, where would Brady be in the same exercise if we were coming off last season, where he had the nice playoff run but was in showing those signs as well? Would he have been in the top five?
Yeah, probably. And he was lower on this list for a while, and he eventually inched up as I went. And I have a feeling Wes might rank him lower. Am I right, Wes?
Yes, I do not want a 43. Or whatever. I don't want a quarterback who can't get out of the way of pressure, because what we've seen over the last few years is that those guys struggle.
I find it interesting, both PFF and Greg Bedard, who does a good job at Boston Sports Journal breaking down all the film of Tom Brady, had him ranked higher for the 2019 season than he did for 2018. And so did PFF. And I think that's been lost a little. He wasn't that great last year either. He had a very good playoff run. But I probably say he's been a top 15, top 12 quarterback both years, and it wasn't like a huge decline this year. It was the Patriots that declined.
If I was, all right, right above Brady, we mentioned Drew Brees. He's at number 8 on this list. And I guess it really depends on what you thought about what you saw from Brees this year. But, you know, you have Yannick Ngakoue ahead of him. Ryan Tannehill's ahead of him. You have Shaq Barrett ahead of him. I mean, I feel like if you were a team looking for a quarterback and thought you had a chance to get over the hump, Drew Brees, you would be doing cartwheels to have him join your team in the short term on a 1 or 2 year deal.
I'm with you. Over Ryan Tannehill. I'm not going to suddenly
That was
get down
where I struggled
Tannehill,
the most, was trying to do Tannehill versus those guys. And this was done before that last playoff run. And I'm open to that being different. But I don't know. I think Yannick Ngakoue helps 32 teams. How many teams?
Right. Sean Payton with you,
right?
When you signed Drew Brees.
It has to be the right situation. It's sort of impossible to rank quarterbacks versus any position because they just matter so much more.
Where does PFF have Drew Brees after 2019 season? Where was he? Was he in the top 10? There's a lot of hate around Drew Brees right now.
No, I think it's realistic about what his arm is at this stage of his career. Sure, sign him for a warm weather team or a dome team.
Right.
But I don't think you can play him and expect great results in December in a cold weather city.
Let me just for framing
okay,
purposes.
Okay, so your quarterbacks was where I surprised.
Okay.
The whole Tannehill over Breeze and Brady thing, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that a little more.
I mean, almost like take these quarterbacks and break them out in their own category, because I have no issue with at all with the way you rank these, but I think it's just your eyes are all over the place reading this, because you're seeing these huge mega names in the middle of these other positions.
In terms of like how guys are going to get paid, though, which is not how it's done, but Chris Jones will make more money than Tom Brady.
Let me read the top 10 here, just so the listeners have this framed a little bit. I know they're going to read the story, too, of course, at NFL.com/...
Undoubtedly.
Top 25.
Top 25 free agents. 1, Dak. 2, Chris Jones. 3, Amari Cooper. 4, Clowney. 5, Shaq Barrett. 6, Ryan Tannehill. 7, Ngakoue. 8, Breeze. 9, Brady. Justin Simmons at 10. Now, one more thought I just wanted to get out about Breeze, because you got to factor in the money end of this as well. Would I rather have a Drew Breeze at age 39 on a 1 or 2 year deal, or Dak Prescott's age 27 through 32-year-old season at like the highest rate in the league for a quarterback or around there? Mm. I would rather have Breeze in the short term. Is he 41? All right.
Well, who do you think Jerry Jones would rather have? You think he'd rather have Drew Breeze for 2 years and not re-sign Dak Prescott?
I'm just talking about what the value on the market is. I would rather have Drew Breeze on a short-term deal than invest a ton of money in Dak Prescott as a superstar quarterback over half a decade.
I'd rather have Dak, because I think having a long-term superstar quarterback is the most valuable thing you can have. Yeah, I do.
Do you think Dak Prescott had a better year than Ryan Tannehill on balance?
On balance?
Yeah. I mean, per game, maybe not. They're in the same ballpark, and Dak I've seen a lot more from over the years. The Tannehill thing is tricky because it was just a 10-game sample, and it was really impressive, but I think the Titans will be happy to use one of their tags on Tannehill, because you don't have to pay him $80 million guaranteed, and let's see him for 60
Absolutely.
More games. Because when I was trying to think of teams for Tom Brady, I mean, the Titans are right up near the top. If they wanted to go for Tom Brady, because John Robinson was with the Patriots. Mike Vrabel obviously was a teammate with the Patriots, and they have a team that is looking to get over the top. If they thought Brady was a better one-year option than Tannehill, it's not that crazy. If I was the Titans, I would want to run back Derrick Henry and Tannehill and try to build more around him and see what that looks like next year.
That's a great call, because if this Tannehill thing didn't happen, which really shocked everybody, everybody would be pointing at Tennessee with Vrabel there. But
right?
Now?
Makes a lot of sense.
Good O-line. It's still not that crazy that they would at least consider it. But I think the way they finished the year, to your point, Wes, I think they would have to want to see Tannehill in that uniform for another 16 games at least.
A.J. Green just misses the top 10, which is surprising, but I also get it. He just missed a full year. He's on the wrong side of 30. We've talked about that name, where he would make a lot of sense to go as a guy who could be a final piece for a team that needs wide receiver help.
Well, he said he would like to stay in Cincinnati. The Bengals, Duke Tobin told Rap Sheet that they want A.J. Green back, and franchise tag could be an option there.
Especially if Joe Burrow is coming in and A.J. Green is excited about that, you know.
If they tag him, then it's not as fun to watch what happens, because I don't think the year off would hurt him that much relatively in terms of the teams that would be after him. If you look at the teams that could use an outside receiver, I mean, they're pretty great. The Ravens, after seeing him twice a year, you're telling me they wouldn't want him? The Patriots need an outside receiver. The Raiders are going to be looking to spend money. They could use an outside receiver. The Eagles really could use an outside. Like, I just, even though A.J. Green hasn't been A.J. Green for a little bit, I just feel like he would have a monster market regardless. And there's so much cap space this year. It's outrageous. Almost every team has more cap space than they can use. Jadeveon Clowney might be the highest paid player in the NFL, I feel like, or the defensive player.
I cannot believe, and I know running backs can't get paid in the open market, but I guess what is this? It's the top free agents, or I know you're obviously factoring position, but Leonard Williams of the Giants, you have at 18, and you have Derrick Henry, who's been the best running back in the world for a while.
Are you going by money or earning potential here?
No.
Henry at 20, when I first saw this a couple days ago, that jumped out at me.
That jumped out at me.
But what do you pay him? I kind of get it, though, because it's like I don't know what metrics you're using. Is he the 20th best player on this list? No.
I feel
much higher.
I feel like the running game is he is an exceptional player that is coming off a incredibly high workload who doesn't help you on third downs really, which is kind of crucial. I mean, and you can generate a running game is a function of the team more than the player for the most part. That is not where I would want to be spending my money.
Look at all the running backs have been paid lately. And almost everyone is regrettable. Lev Bell, Todd Gurley, Zeke Elliott didn't have a great year. David Johnson. I mean, you're going to pay a guy who just had 400 touches?
I think that's the conundrum. But, I mean, like with Tannehill, I would just, if I'm the Titans, find a way to bring the whole band back and see where you are a year from now.
I agree. And they
got to pay one of them, though, beyond the franchise.
I know. They're both tough. It's the toughest two. It's one of the two toughest positions. Tannehill and Derrick Henry on this list are a conundrum pay-wise.
So this year is the final year of the collective bargaining agreement. And there are different rules in this year, some of which I can't wrap my head around. But one of them I get, which is that there are two tags available for the first time ever, I believe. You can use a franchise tag and a transition tag. Transition tag means you just have the ability to match any offer. And I could see the Titans using those two tags for those two players because they're kind of the perfect players to keep one more year, that you don't want to give Henry the Gurley contract, but sign me up for. I would be happily pay him 1 year, $16 million. That's where I think the running back thing gets a little too crazy. Don't pay him at all. It's like, no, I'll pay him for 1 year. I just don't want to.
The transition tag is when you essentially let another team do the negotiation for you and then decide.
Right.
And teams don't generally like using the transition tag for that reason.
And it would be risky, but I don't know which player you would use it on in that case. I would tend to think Henry, and if someone signs him away, you're gone. But maybe it's Tannehill, too, that you just let someone else do.
I mean, who's going to swoop in and craft a massive contract for Ryan Tannehill? I love what he did this year, but it's like he fits the Titans. Where are the other landing spots?
You could see a GM falling in love with
him. I could see it, but it's like
I could easily see them reaching an agreement with him so they could have either tag available for Henry.
Right, and they also have Jack Conklin, who I think they're going to want to keep at right tackle, too.
Is there a player here? Because a lot of times with this exercise, as fun as the names are, when you factor in the franchise tag and all that, or in deals just getting done, the amount of the players that actually end up changing teams, it's not as many big names. Who's a kind of a bigger name here that you think falls through where he doesn't get franchised, where he doesn't end up getting a new deal, and he moves? Somebody that we haven't talked about yet, perhaps? Somebody that we haven't talked about?
Clowney, I think, will move because he's like going to get Khalil Mack type money because there's so much money just out there in the market. And his agent made the Seahawks agree to not franchise tag him as part of that trade.
But isn't like Clowney way more of a risk than Derrick Henry?
No.
In terms of money.
Henry's more of a risk.
But how much money you have to pay him relative to what you have to pay Derrick Henry and the injury risk and all that?
There's a case to be made. I think he'll get out there. I don't totally know if Amari Cooper stays with the Cowboys. I think with the way the Dak that they can't use the tag, you know, if they have to use the tag on Dak, couldn't you just see Amari
Jeffrey Joe Douglas on that one?
Once you get to this part of the year, if you get to the market, it's like you're gone. So I don't know. The Cowboys have some work to do with. They also have Byron Jones. I don't think they would prioritize him ahead of Amari Cooper, but Cooper's someone I think could change teams.
I see him staying. I just don't ever see Jerry losing his stars.
Joe Tooney, who's a guard on the Patriots, that's not a big name.
He gone.
He's going to be gone.
I'd rather sign these guards, though, than some of these receivers.
Hunter Henry, I think, is a fun one.
Mm.
Austin Hooper is out there potentially, too. So it, unless those guys get tagged, which is possible, that some good tight ends out there.
I feel like Hunter Henry was drafted like 4 weeks ago. I mean, the time is racing by.
I feel like he's been about 14 ACL tears as well. He's a buyer beware guy, but a guy that's obviously flashed.
I can tell you a couple guys who will be moving up the list once I vote.
Please.
We are moving some edge rushers up this list. Judon and Bud Dupree will be voted up higher than they are on here.
Yeah. For both of them, it was a little bit of one-year wonder thing.
Just like Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, but to me, no, we had Smith a lot higher.
Right, but he was a one-year wonder going into
last year's
free agency market.
Judon, I think watching them is a great player, but he's nowhere near a Za'Darius Smith. Dupree is interesting because if you're just basing off this year, he was incredible.
And the Steelers desperately want him back.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else, Wes, that you're seeing?
No, it was a great job by Greg and a very challenging year to do this.
What about famous Jameis Winston? I feel like there might be a war over the soul of Jameis, who's at 19 on this list. Wes would probably want him in the range of 400 to 700, I would imagine.
I'd probably put him much closer to like 30 to 40.
Really?
Why do I need to sign a guy who I want to replace immediately?
See, this was a
like, I don't want him as my quarterback, so up.
Right, where on earth does he land?
This was a strategic mistake. You ever, with your significant other, with your wife.
Play the game.
There's some battles that you...
Lubrication.
You figure, like, I don't need to... fight this battle. I'll just meet you halfway to start because there's something else I want to battle you on, maybe. Jameis, I figured by putting him around 20, I'm like, I'm already knowing what's coming from Wes. I'd love to put him even higher, frankly. And I thought, okay, this prevents any
battle.
It was a bad move because I'm still getting the battle. I might as well have just
You think he's going to get more money than Kirk Cousins?
Philosophically, where do you rank players you don't want on your team? That's where it comes down to. That's Nobody fair. Wants Jameis Winston as their quarterback.
My point for Jameis is if he actually got to the open market, I just think people would be astounded with the contract he would get. I do think it'd be better than Kirk Cousins. I just think
I do not.
Because I want to know what team that is. That you got to sell that to people buying tickets.
What are they doing with all this cap space?
What do you mean? Sell a guy through for 5,000 yards and 30 TDs this past season.
I mean, which team is desperate for Jameis Winston? I'd like to
know. He's exciting.
That.
Right. He's a mess, but
he's
exciting.
He gives the ball away 2 to 3 to 4 times a game. So
it's harder to sell like a Mariota type than a Winston.
How about Chargers? You know, the Chargers and Bucks just do a swap. You take our interception machine, we'll take yours, and
everybody loses.
Like, Winston on the Chargers is interesting.
That will fill the stadium up.
Well, we say that about every single Chargers scenario at this point. Nothing's going to fill.
Tom Brady could get people excited here
until they're 1-5, and he looks like the 28th best quarterback in the NFL.
My thing is
that would be a problem.
It's like, why would Tom Brady want to? I don't know. Play for Anthony Lynn behind a terrible offensive. That's why when you think of the whole Brady thing, where is he really going to want to do it? There can't be that many. Maybe Indianapolis if they were. I mean, there might be a few, but I can't imagine he's just going to go to any team. Like, one of the worst offensive lines in the league year after year, you're going to put Tom Brady behind that?
You're going to go to the franchise that essentially cracked the egg on Deflategate? I mean, there's still people in that building attached to that. I mean, that's...
Who?
The owner.
Oh, the Colts. Yeah. That would be...
That would be an interesting landing spot.
Good stuff. Check it out. The Greg piece on NFL.com/...
Top 25 free agents.
And also the upcoming piece by the scientists.
Top 101 free agents.
But most importantly, the first time, we've teased it for a couple of years. But
sure.
This year, both Mark Sessler and Dan Hanzus will be putting together our top 102 free agents.
Yep. On markanddan.com, you can find on the out on the internet.
And Wes, I'm taking your comments today as an invitation. Next year, Monday... after divisional round, while you're trying to grind that game pass, I'm calling you up, and we're going to hash out these top 25 free agents.
Love it.
Going to take hours.
That was not something I put on the table.
Breaking news before we go. This just announced via Twitter from the Saturday Night Live handle. The night before the Super Bowl, J.J. Watt will host the venerable late-night comedy institution, Saturday Night Live. Musical guest Luke Combs. J.J. Watt. Oh, that monologue's going to be stiffer than Watt's back. After
they'll help him out.
Quarters
they'll help him out. Sometimes it's just that you gotta work around it. There's going to be – it'll be a question and answer. There'll be a lot of other
He'll dress and drag at
some
point.
Stars are going to come up during his monologue. It's not going to be him speaking for
– based on some – 15. History for this show, I'm just going to say I think he's going to do a phenomenal job.
I think he's going to be great.
What would Wes, I know you're not really an SNL guy, right?
I'm not really a TV guy.
Gotcha. What would be, if you had to choose one SNL to watch, they announced the next two shows. So you got J.J. Watt and Luke Combs, who sounds like a country singer. But
yeah, he is.
I don't know anything.
Oh, my God. That's right out of the country music, We'll Build a Name for You book.
Right. And then your other choice is the February 8th show, which will be hosted by RuPaul and Justin Bieber as the musical guest. Which episode are you watching?
Can I read a book instead?
No, you must pick.
I'm watching RuPaul.
I think I would too.
Right.
And that was the name out of all those who I think can bring the most
work,
entertainment.
Cover girl. Work at work. Cover
girl. With Watt, you could talk about it a little on the podcast. Could help with
do
work.
Your thing. Cover girl.
Actually, that wouldn't be a terrible assignment for Wes.
A Bieber will do a skit or two and add some pop.
I'm getting no entertainment from Bieber.
Bieber famously one of the worst people ever at SNL behind the scenes. I'm a little surprised he came back, but I guess he's matured a little bit.
Oh, difficult to work with.
Yeah, just not a nice person. I heard from a source close to the production.
Maybe he's trying to change that image.
Not a triple
source. He's matured.
But I feel good about this one. J.J. Watt on SNL. I'll be watching. From the hotel room in
Miami.
I mean, all you need to do is be in a little skit where they do everything for you, and people will give you a lot of love. It's like Eli Manning throwing the footballs at the kid. People loved Eli Manning for that.
You know SNL as I do, Greg. It is littered with the carcasses of professional athletes who were asked to do almost nothing and couldn't do it. And it derails an entire episode when they're bad. When they're good, Joe Montana comes to mind, Peyton comes to mind, Eli did a nice job. It's okay and sometimes inspired, but when it's bad, oh my God. Go watch some Michael Phelps SNL.
No, thank you.
No, it's rough. I would slow down on Peyton Manning, though. I've always just felt that he's not nearly as funny as everyone claims he is. But
are we talking about this again?
Well, no,
this
because...
This is a dangerous hot take.
No,
from,
it's not at all. It's
Mark and Wes.
What if he's just not funny?
I mean, you put it up there that he brought life to the show or whatever.
But Michael Jordan was terrible, but there was... And I guess that's because he's Michael Jordan. It was still fun just because it was he was there.
I mean, I've heard the take that Peyton Manning's not funny. You're not going to get an argument from me.
You find that he is funny?
He's had his moments.
Okay.
That's all. I'm not saying he's
And nor do I say that
genius.
He's never cracked a joke, but I'm just saying it's not on the top 1,000 list of who I want to see.
Love
comedy.
It. Got it. Love it, Ricky.
I got it. Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm.
I know arguments. Man,
the old boss and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Thursday. Oh, 1 hour.